The doctrine must be of the truth. Amen. It must be. You know, the Bible is what it is, regardless of how man interprets it.
Right.
It only has one meaning.
Hey.
There's just one truth, Brother Jerry Lee.
Right.
Regardless of how people look at it and read it, many of them misunderstand it. They take it out of context. They start whole religions on it, and they twist it to do so. But and they say, you know, this is what. Listen, the Bible says one thing, and it's the truth, and it's whether or not man understands that truth. That God Almighty has given unto us to see. And so he said in the last, you know, he's talking about these evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We've got religions saying that Christianity is going to take over the world eventually and usher in the millennial reign. That's not so. That's not so. The Bible says right here, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. According to the Scripture, they will wax worse and worse, and they're going to be deceiving people and being deceived themselves. A lot of these men that are deceiving people, they're deceived themselves. They actually believe what they're saying. They truly believe they're doing some good. And they've got, you know, this a certain righteousness about them, you know, about how they're trying to help people. And they're deceived in that. They're deceived in that. Now listen, I want to tell you something. You know, there's not but one. I said this to Dallas preaching about this, about the righteousness that you and I have as far as our goodness. There's only one righteousness or goodness that will get you and I to heaven, and that's the righteousness of Christ. It's the only one good enough. Now to you and me, a lot of people we may know, we may think that's a good person. But they're not good in the eyes of God. They've come short. It's not good enough for heaven. We may say that's just one of the best fellers. That's just one of the best ladies you'll ever meet and run into. And on our scale, I mean, maybe, just you couldn't get no gooder, if you want to say it like that. Amen? No better. But listen, in the eyes of God, it's not good enough. And well, that's the same way about the way people look at things. They're, you know, looking and they think that they're helping people and they're deceiving and they're being deceived. Now, I'm talking about this evening about protection against apostasy. I'd preached about apostasy, I believe it was last Wednesday. And it's because we're seeing so much more of it in these last days.
Right.
I mean, the Bible's full of it right here. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." There they are. They're deceiving and being deceived in the last days. So that was even Timothy saying that again. Back over in chapter number 1, verse number 19, he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. A lot of people, they won't even act upon a good conscience anymore, let alone the truth. People won't even act upon a good conscience anymore. You see it, people around. Listen, even in our United States, you can see it on TV a lot of times. I mean, people are plumb out of their head. They have no moral compass at all. They're not even acting on a good conscience. Where's a good, even just a good conscience? Let alone a godly conscience, amen? A Bible-directed mind, how about that? And that's what you and I need. We need the Scripture to direct us. Amen. I mean, if the Scripture doesn't direct our life, our lives are going to be swerving out of control. And our lives will shipwrecked. So Paul is, I think, in essence, he's warning Timothy to protect against the apostasy of the last times. He's told him how he's lived, how he's been persecuted because of the way he's lived, the way he's preached, the way he has believed. But he exhorts Timothy to continue in the things that he has learned. And the things that he's been assured of, there it is. Listen, when you take the Bible, you need to make sure you're assured of it. Am I sure that this, well, see, that's what they did over there, the early church at Antioch. They searched the Scriptures daily where those things were so. They wanted assurance of Scripture. Is this what God is really saying? Is there anything else? Is there any other thing that I need to look at that would change my mind about what they've said about this message? And so you get assurance of your faith. And I am assured today, listen, and I know you are, you that are saved, I know you are assured that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He was virgin born, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for the sins of all humanity, was buried and rose again the third day. And we're sure of that. Nobody could change our heart about that. Amen? And we're sure that it's His blood that washes our sins away. Hey, I'll tell you what, they can all day long try to take the blood out of the doctrine. They're not going to take it out of my heart. They're not going to take it out of your heart. If you're assured of it, you know. Amen. You know. I'm assured. I'm just as assured. It's not play. It's not a figment of my imagination. It's not something that I just started talking about because I heard somebody else say it and I really want to believe it.
Right.
I know. The Spirit of God has to knock on a sinner's heart and draw them. Jesus said this, and see, the way we know through the Word. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And no man cometh to me except the Father which sent me draw him. That's the drawing of the Father. You said, Brother Mark, you said the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of the Father. They're one, are they not? Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Isn't that what the Bible said? There are three that bear a record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And so we believe and we're assured of these things, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Knowing, listen, you didn't just get it from somebody off of TV. You've got it from somebody who has labored among you, from somebody who you've seen their life. You've heard them teach. You've heard them preach. You know the kind of person they are. You know they're not going to lie to you. You know, listen, if you know me, you know one thing. I'm going to do everything I can to give you the Bible. That's all I've ever tried to do. And he said, continue in the things which you've learned. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, it is important that we start when they're children, fortifying their mind with the doctrines of the Word of God to protect them from apostasy. If you want to protect your children from false doctrine and from heathenism and from every other thing that's going to come down the pike out here in public, if you want to keep them, save them, and protect them, teach them from when they're young. Paul said to Timothy in verse 14 of chapter 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Paul said that to Timothy. Timothy, from a child you've known the holy scripture. From a child. So giving them the scriptures from the time of a child, listen, that will help protect their minds against apostasy. Make them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know young people that are given the Word of God, the younger they're giving it to, the more chance they're going to be saved young? That's the truth. The more church and preaching and teaching, but not only that, the Word of God. Mom and Dad, you got to give it to them at home. Amen. You can't stuff the world in them at home and expect, I mean, you get a Sunday school teacher and a pastor to get it out of them in 1 hour a week. It doesn't work that way. But if you teach them, you're teaching them and you're protecting them against apostasy, against those deceivers, against those seducers. He said, all Scripture, this is how we do it. This is how we protect them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what some translations say? All Scripture that is given by inspiration of God is profitable. Oh, that changes it, doesn't it? That means the theologian can start saying, well, some of it was given by God, but some of it wasn't. But that's not what this scripture said. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. All of it. Amen. In the book of Psalms, he says, every word of God is pure. Every word. Man wants to translate things and put it in there where he can run his fingers through it and say, this is of God and this is not of God. This is right and there's something wrong with this. That's apostasy. That's apostasy. All Scripture, listen, that's the very foundation for you and I to be protected against apostasy is the Word of God. That's why there's always been such an attack on the Textus Receptus, our King James Bible, our 1611 King James Bible. It's been attacked more than any book. I mean, listen, something ought to tell you, just one thing ought to say something to you. All the other translations, they've got a copyright on them. You can't even print them unless you ask permission from somebody. Why? Because there's money involved. Did you know I could take this King James Bible right now and go down here and copy it and nobody will say anything about it? The King James Bible doesn't have a copyright. It was given free to man. Free! Ain't that good? I mean, that's just something carnal to think about. That's not even a spiritual truth. That's just the carnality of man showing up. Amen? I mean, but it says a lot. All Scripture. That's our protection. And it's the protection of the man of God. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is everything I need to teach you. I like good commentaries. And sometimes I look at commentaries. I like to read books sometimes and, you know, fan through them and I'll read a chapter here, a couple, you know, chapters. But listen, the Word of God is all I need to give to you to protect you from apostasy in these last days. I don't need to know about all the apostates. I don't need to know what this religion believes. And what this one believes, and what that one believes, and what this one over here says, and what that one over here is saying. And then try to give you from the Word of God everything to combat each and every one of them. No, all I need to know is this book. And if you hear anything contrary to the faith, you'll know it's wrong. You'll know it's apostasy. You'll know that it's a deception in these last days. And it is deception that we need protected from. Listen, deception has been around from the beginning. And the twisting of God's Word has been around from the beginning. Satan twisted God's Word when he was talking to Eve. Deception. I'm thinking about Samson right now. That man, he was dedicated to God. A judge in the land of Israel. A Nazarite vow. Clean living. I mean, God's hand was on this man's life. And a woman deceived him. A woman deceived him because of the lust of his flesh. Think of how many have been deceived. Deceived. The way we keep from being deceived. Listen to you, man of God. It says that the man of God may be perfect. Why? He's the one, listen, that the Bible says he is over you. He is over you. He is going to be held accountable for you. He labors for your soul. So you think that people would say, I'm going to listen to my man of God. I'm going to listen to what my pastor says. I'm going to listen to what he's, if he's given me that book, I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take what he's saying because I need it in my life. And then he charged him in chapter 4. The charge of the soldier of Christ. Listen, and it's not just, I don't think necessarily just the preacher. It's every soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Apostasy. The time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what do? Preach the word. Give them the word. Tell them the word. Tell them what thus saith the word of God. When somebody says, what do you think? Look them right in the eye and say, well, you really know, it really don't matter what I think, but I'll tell you what God says about it. I've tried to get that way over the years. People ask me, what do you think? Doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God says. That's all that matters. The Word of God. That's what's going to change people. That's what will save people in the end. At His appearing in His kingdom. That's what's going to save people. The time will come, they'll not. Listen, they're beyond enjoying sound doctrine. People don't even enjoy it anymore. But Paul said, they're not going to endure it. Let alone enjoy it. Used to, people enjoyed sound doctrine. The more sound you were in preaching, the more people enjoyed it. Saints of God used to, rejoice and get behind the man of God and agree with it. Amen, praise the Lord, thank God, that's right. But now people can't even endure it. Can't endure it. They can't take it. It's too hard for them. They won't endure sound doctrine. I can't handle that hard preaching, that hard scripture, that straight and that narrow way. But God said they'll not endure. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Prophesy, he said in the Old Testament, they'll say, prophesy unto us good things. That sounds just like so many on television. Well, there's a lot of, hellfire and brimstone, and I feel like I'm inspired to just make people feel good about themselves. Yeah, and a lot of them people's going to die in their sin and go to hell that day. What's going to happen? I want people to feel good about themselves too. Amen. I want God's people especially to feel good about themselves. But a lost person, right. Yeah, I want them to feel good about themselves. I want them to get saved. That'll be the best good they'll ever feel if they get saved. But you can't tell somebody that's wallowing in sin, that's an enemy of God, that he's not. That's contrary. It's contrary. The time will come they'll not endure. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Shall be turned unto fables. He said, but watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. It's the word, it's the word, it's the word in every verse. What's going to keep us from apostasy? What keeps a church from going into apostasy? What keeps people from going into apostasy? The word. Over and over and over. Combating against the word. And I'm not talking about saved people losing their salvation. I'm not talking about that. But that's where you find out, listen, preaching the truth, it'll bring out this one thing I'm sure of. Those that'll endure and those that won't. Those that continue and those that won't. Those that receive it and those that don't. Those that are saved and them that's lost. It'll separate the tares from the wheat. Won't it? You better believe it. The protection against apostasy. Learn the scripture when you're young. Get behind your man of God. Realize the time that you're in, that it's a deceiving time. And turn to the Word. Don't turn away from it. The time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. And shall be turned. See, that's turn, turn, turn. People turn from that old time way. No, we need to turn to that old time way. Turn into that straight and narrow way. I forget where I was traveling one time, but I'm telling you what, they was I think it may have been Atlanta. It could have been out in Raleigh, Durham, I'm not sure. But anyways, it is a big place. They was 4 or 6 lanes going this way and 4 or 6 coming back this way, and all of a sudden there were side roads running beside each one of them. They were exits and turnaround loops and crossing this way and crossing that way and coming back under. And you had to watch, because if you was going to go where you were going, there was one way that you had better get on. Only one. And I thought about that. I really did. I thought, this is just the way, the straight and the narrow way. You got to get on that straight and narrow way, or you're going to be off in some other direction.
Right.
And God knows, I've been in them places and got off the wrong, and man, I was out in the middle of somewhere else trying to find a way to get back. That's one of the worst feelings that you'll ever have. being in the middle of a big crowd and not really feeling like you know which way to go. The Lord tells us which way to go, doesn't He? Get on that one way. Paul, when he was coming down to the end of his time, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. How do we protect against apostasy? Keep the faith. Keep it. Hold to it. Don't sway from it. Don't change your mind about it. Don't change your heart about it. Keep the faith. Paul said at the beginning, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The world's going to persecute us and say, look at them. This is a true testimony. Listen, and I'm not trying to be off color. I'm telling the truth. My family never has been persecuted by the world for not having enough clothes on. But they have been persecuted for trying to dress right. I wonder why that is. I wonder why nobody had called my wife down for tight-fitting blue jeans, but they'll call her down for a nice, long, flowing dress. Why are you wearing that? People look at me as a preacher, as a pastor, the way you try to raise your kids with some morals and keeping them out of the world, and they look at you like you're I don't know what it is that they think. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give my family, just hand them over to the world. If they go to the world, they'll go to it after they leave my home. Not while they're in it. The world doesn't want nothing but hurt for your family. They want you to be like the rest of them. They want you to fit in with them. We're not supposed to fit in with them. We're supposed to come out from among them and be separate, aren't we? Amen. All right, I'm done this evening. Thank you for being here.